Seeking mental health care can be overwhelming and even scary, but it doesn't have to be. I'm Dr. Josephine McNary, and I'm committed to making this process easier for you. Each week, my expert guest and I unravel a different form of therapeutic intervention in order to bring comfort and understanding and to help you get back to your true self. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mind Stories. Today, I'm excited to have two guests on our podcast to discuss art therapy, Kate Rosenberg and Marina Korakina. Kate Rosenberg is a licensed professional clinical counselor and artist currently living in Los Angeles. She earned her BA in studio art at Oberlin College and her master's degree in art psychotherapy at Pratt Institute. She was additionally trained in metalsmithing at the Jewelry Arts Institute, film at Tisch NYU, ceramics at Full Circle Pottery, and psychodynamic psychotherapy at the prestigious Maple Counseling Center. She currently works with clients in private practice utilizing art psychotherapy modalities and traditional talk psychotherapy in both Los Feliz and Santa Monica. She teaches artist therapy workshops internationally. She most recently completed an artist residency in Italy with the Villa Lana Foundation, where she taught art as therapy to a European audience. Originally trained as an art historian, Marina Korakina spent more than a decade working closely with leading contemporary artists as an international curator in London. The last 3 years saw Marina at the Esalen Institute in Big Sur, California, researching connections between creativity and human potential. There, Marina concentrated on expanded states of consciousness achieved through creative practices. The practical side of her research took the form of weekly art workshops, where she combined artistic methods with Gestalt group therapy techniques and somatic awareness practices. Marina has since founded a creative subconscious platform where she works with clients as a creative facilitator and a transformational coach, running workshops, retreats, and collaborating with other practitioners in person and online. Throughout her work, Marina has focused on helping others expand their understanding of artistic processes and rituals, in turn leading to a deeper form of artistic awareness. Welcome to you both.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Mind Stories. Today, I'm pleased to have as our guests, Kate Rosenberg and Marina Korakina.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us.
Hi. Thanks for having us. We're excited to be here.
So I think the best place to start, because you both work in the realm of art and art therapy and creativeness, is to talk about people have heard this idea of art therapy, but they don't really know what it is. Can you both maybe talk a little bit about how you describe what art therapy is to people who just have never really had much experience with it?
Sure. Yeah, there are so many aspects of it, but I think that the most important thing that comes up for me is that it's a way to observe your unconscious. I think that our first experiences in this world are sensory, auditory, visual, and oftentimes our senses get lost in communication through our tendency towards intellectualization or verbalization. And so making art with a client really brings us back to what's underneath things and maybe more primal experiences.
Would you say that somebody who, you know, is thinking about art therapy might be drawn to it because, in a sense, the traditional idea of talking about how they're feeling or challenges they're facing doesn't feel so natural? It's more about the creative realm and expressing themselves through that modality instead.
Do you want to take this, Marina?
Yeah, I can take it. Well, actually, it's interesting. This is exactly what Kate and I were talking about it the other day. And we came to the conclusions that both are really important. It's the combination of the two that's very helpful. When you use expressive arts techniques and therapies, you know, you can access much. So I'm just going to say that the language of visual arts and colors and shapes and lines and images, they can speak to us in the way that words cannot. And it's also, you know, once you put it on a paper or once you maybe express it in a movement or in a writing, it's outside of you. And as Kate, you pointed out in our workshop yesterday, that you have an ability to work on it. It no longer has so much power over you. And it's perhaps sometimes it's easier to, you can manipulate the image, you can rewrite the story, you can edit it, you can change your movement or song can be adjusted as well. So it's very empowering from that side. And, you know, art therapy is a modality that because it speaks with of nonverbal language, you know, you can use it for personal growth and insight and transformation as a means to connect to a deeper process inside. And once it's out, you could continue with a traditional talking therapy, you know, cognitive sort of behavioral conversation.
Got it. And so you together do these workshops. Can you talk a little bit about the process of what happens in those workshops and why someone might choose to take part in one of these?
Well, we're just starting to put it together and exploring it. So it's not completely in effect right now.
Well, but we can still talk about the process, you know.
Sure.
Other than it's extremely fun for both of us because we're really passionate about what we do. We choose thematically, like, for example, we did a workshop yesterday. We did it online. It's called Creative Nourishment. And we focus on what do people go through right now and how can we support them and offer them space and creative exercises or creative meditations using art and body, you know, to explore what's going on and as well as to integrate. And that's, Kate, we probably should mention, I mean, the power of art therapeutic work is that it's such an incredible tool for integration, you know, to see where you are in your process and to, especially, you know, in times like we're going through today, during this pandemic outbreak, we wanted to offer people space to shift into a more expansive state of consciousness, you know, and maybe Kate can talk about it, but we both totally agree on these flow states or state of expanded consciousness or non-ordinary states, as some may call them also, which art therapy can offer.
I mean, in terms of like groups that I've taken or been a participant in or taught in the past, it's mostly about creating space for people to explore. So what I've tended to do is, if it's a group that's relatively new to art therapy, just like lay out a bunch of mediums, clay, colored pencil, marker, tape, you name it, and just see where people gravitate, because material says so much about a person. And then the rest of the workshop, we'd usually give a directive of some sort and just create time and space for people to create an image and then come together again and talk about our experience of doing the art, doing the directive, and what they see in their pieces.
Got it. Do you think it's more powerful when done in groups versus just an individual with an art therapist?
That's a good question. I think it's, you know, again, working with clients, it's all very client-based, to each his own. I don't know what your experience is, Marina.
I think it depends on, it's case by case on a person. I like both, you know, depends. It's the work that I can do with the group is extremely powerful because a lot of the times one person's process, it's a piece of work for everybody in the group. The witnessing, you know, being witnessed, it's one of the most powerful experiences, I think, and being witnessed while you're in a vulnerable state, sharing, or even if it's just through your work. I did this painting exercise where I would ask quite vulnerable questions and the group would paint the shapes and forms and the answers, you know, and we didn't have to talk about it necessarily, but it was there in this non-conversational form. So I think it can be really powerful. And I think sometimes you might want to have more privacy or you might not be ready for such an intense group witnessing. It's trusting yourself. And I'd say you always know what you need. Just listen. And if when you're ready, you'll be there. You can join the group work as well. But get out there and try everything. It's fun.
Right. Well, I'm very curious, and you don't have to share them all, but any insight into what vulnerable questions might be you might ask people in the process?
Right. So for the last 3 years, I taught weekly at the Esalen Institute. Mm-hmm. And so every week there would be a different group. Let's say there was a women's workshop working on sexuality. And so we explored in the class the sort of, I asked questions about their pelvic floor, or when we didn't have to talk about it necessarily. And somehow the group was mixed, male and female, and that was really interesting. And it's always an invitation. You don't have to do the work. You can do whatever you feel comfortable with. But I had a gentleman coming back to me after, you know, and he said, I couldn't talk. I felt too vulnerable, but I just wanted to say that was a very powerful experience for me because my wife and I have been having difficulties and I didn't know how to address it. And it was right there looking at me in the form of a painting. And he was a gentleman in his 60s. And he said, that just made my trip. Thank you so much. It's subtle questions like, where are my roots or how am I grounded? Sometimes can trigger a more profound, deeper process. Again, because we're not working necessarily with words, because we're also skillful, you know, in conversations. This is a tool that we use on a daily basis. But there's something within the body and within the imagery that one can create. It's a little bit like dream state. We can't really fool our dreams around, right? There's so many metaphors there. And it's, by the way, dreams is another non-ordinary state. And we spend half of our lives in these states. And that's another example why art therapy is so terrific, because it can translate, it teaches you to understand and navigate these parts of yourself as well.
And just to piggyback on that, when I work with a client, I like them to tell me what they see first before really probing. Work with them on like what kind of questions they can handle.
Got it. So a typical session you might have with a client, Kate, is that someone gravitates towards the type of medium that they want to work with. They create based on either just organically whatever is kind of happening in their mind or what they're thinking about, or maybe based on prompts that you give them.
Yeah.
And then the next phase is the discussion of the creation.
Yes. Yes.
Got it. And is there more time spent on the discussion versus the creation? Or I guess it might just depend.
It just depends. Like sometimes people want to speak in session, so I'll ask them to just take it home and then we can talk about their piece during the next session in the introduction.
And how much interaction does someone have with a facilitator or with a therapist during the creative process or creation process?
Personally, I like to let them just be completely on their own. Sometimes I'll put on music based on what makes them most comfortable. Some people, I've had children in the past, prefer if I work alongside with them. So sometimes I'll do that.
I agree with that. Yeah, everybody has a different reaction. But I would add, it's the container that it's really important, you know, setting the safe container for the client to go deeper, to be comfortable enough to explore further. That's quite important.
And I've done art therapy too in my early years, you know, in hospital settings and with adults with intellectual disabilities. And like art therapists often talk about being the third hand. So just being conscious of your client and like if they need like help with that brush. And so oftentimes you really work with them as an extra limb.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm sure there's a wide range of people that may gravitate towards art therapy. And I know it's just, there's so many possibilities of why people might think about this type of modality. Could you maybe give some examples of typical types of problems that someone might think of art therapy as helpful for? Is it they feel anxious and they feel that, you know, something like art therapy would be really helpful? I know it's a pretty vague, broad question, but maybe trends of types of issues that maybe people might come in seeking art therapy as a helpful tool for.
Yeah, well, I mean, most of my clients are not comfortable doing art therapy when they first come in because of what I described earlier is like competition in our early years. And so I've found myself really having to warm them up to it. And once they get into it, they see the benefits. But I mean, children, like that tends to be an easier way to communicate. So I've got a lot of children that come in wanting to try it.
Right. It makes sense. Yeah, it makes sense for that's just the how they feel comfortable expressing themselves.
Yeah.
I get people who are curious also. We talk a lot about there's a different type of knowing. And I really believe that everybody that I work with, they already have all the answers. It's just a matter for creating a container for them to get those answers that they're looking for. I also work with entrepreneurs who are just looking to diversify the way they think. So it's not necessarily patients who have problems, maybe because I also work as a coach, but I get creative teams as well who just want to get different type of results and connect to themselves differently, you know, and or make original decisions that are not made from sort of this linear way of thinking, but a non-linear way that creativity can offer. That also is another type of patient slash client.
What about someone who says, I'm just not a creative person. I don't think something like art therapy would work well for me. How would you respond to that?
Yes. Yeah, so in a situation like that, like I will sometimes just say, why don't you take a pen and a piece of paper and just make marks on that paper and just notice what those marks look like, how it feels making the mark. Are you making repetitive marks? Are your marks flowing? Just to get them comfortable in seeing what internally, what comes out externally. So it's not necessarily going straight into an image, but just picking up a pen and seeing what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would wonder if that type of person is maybe exactly the type of person who would benefit from art therapy, because there's some sort of restriction in the way that they maybe feel like they're able to express themselves or experience themselves.
For sure, yeah.
And I know both of you, I mean, you, Marina, you were talking about the Esalen Institute and the workshops you do. And I mean, people come to your workshops because they are looking for something very specific. Can you give us a little bit more of a description about what happens during those, during probably a 3 to 5 day process?
Well, I was teaching on a weekly program, so that would be short, sort of an hour or 2 hour workshops, you know. I have collaborated for a longer, for 3 day workshops with an art therapist as well as psychedelic therapist in Big Sur. We did integration process, how to integrate with Jennifer Allen. She's a Big Sur based person, but you know, just to give you the shorter version of the workshops, it's kind of an abbreviated version of what I do in the 3 or 5 day process. You know, it depends on the theme and it depends what we're working with, but I start with an introduction as to what art therapy is. And there's normally a lot of what you just mentioned. It's like, well, I'm not a creative person. And that is our social conditioning. And I give them examples of the artists that actually used art therapy, you know, and practiced that. And some insights from psychology as well. And then we just start, the art therapy is experiential. I can talk for a long time, but it doesn't compare to the experience. It's like talking about, you know, how wonderful this ice cream is. But, you know, until you try it, you really have no perception. So it's a felt sense practice. And I start with a warm-up. Maybe I use music as a meditation to drop in. And we start noticing, you know, so it's a guided meditation. And we use dominant and non-dominant hands, or very simple things like looking up, not looking at what you're creating, or looking down. And then, you know, because I work with groups, it's been really fascinating to see also how the group syncs up as well. And there's the group intelligence that emerge, and how it's just, we get to do this work faster together. And then I love working with, again, going back to the different media, but body scans. This is something that I've been doing, is we'll start with a grounding or arrival meditation, you know, that my Gestalt teacher used a lot, Chris Price. And from there, we sense what in the body needs attention, you know, and how does it feel? And does it have a movement? And then there's a figure of a human body in front of them on a piece of paper. And then they would just depict where it is in the, you know, what shape or form it is, or what color is it, you know, and it's really interesting all of a sudden when it's out of them. And then we start writing. Does it have a message? What would it say? And then we do the same thing with a non-dominant hand, you know, and see how the differences and the subtlety. And we talk about what this non-dominant practice offers. And, you know, and then we move through this as well, you know, or, you know, we do a piece of writing. And if you could move through this, you know, through a personal piece of writing as well, you know. And what I love about it, everybody can choose also their personal theme. It's personal to you. And then there's a group share, which, you know, one of the most powerful parts of the art therapy is sharing. And as I mentioned earlier, being witnessed. And it's also one of the more intimidating parts. But once you do it, there's a real sense of empowerment, I find, in people. and we share and we talk. And there's a certain, I always create a, you know, there's a confidentiality agreement, but I always, there's a certain way of sharing and maybe try to get away from this myth as like, ooh, you know, if you make this form a shape, that means you are dot, 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 whatever the interpretation might be. The only expert on, I always say in the workshop, the only expert on you is you yourself, and everybody else's opinion is a projection of themselves rather than what you're going through. So they get to share and bond and learn about themselves.
Yeah. And it's sort of unrelated, but I guess the question is, any form of art is therapy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Even if you're on your own, or, I mean, the point of doing these workshops or seeking out an art therapist is to help get some guidance and structure, in a sense, to that process.
Yeah. Josephine, do you think I could talk about materials for a moment?
Because yes,
I think that's so essential. So, yeah, I mean, I think that it's interesting if you're doing this on your own, if you decide to see an art therapist or go to an art therapy oriented workshop, it's always helpful to notice what materials you gravitate towards. And materials can be so self-reflexive. For example, clay, if someone gravitates towards clay in a session, clay can symbolize one's first steps in the world. It's a regressive medium, like you can get really down and dirty and messy. Some people like that. Some people don't like that. For the person that does or doesn't like it, what does that say about the early childhood, different stages of development? Colored pencil, for example, is a very fine medium. Does the person like that gravitate towards that prefer more controlled environments? It's a medium that requires precision. Collage, which is something that I think is especially good for adolescents, can give a second life to something. Does someone want to change the original picture they made? Does someone tear up a picture that they made? There's so much to explore in how people use every single material.
Right. And do you at some point in the therapy encourage people to at least consider working with a medium that maybe they don't feel comfortable with? And is that a way to help kind of break down resistance that they might have?
That's a good question. I mean, I don't want to push people past their limitations mm-hmm. ever, but mm-hmm. yeah, it's certainly curious and helpful to explore trying a different medium and then questioning why someone likes it or why someone doesn't like it and then talking about it.
Hmm. I see.
Yeah. I would say getting curious about it or at least bringing it to their attention or asking, that's interesting. Wow. There's what type of resistance could that be? Why don't you like it? And so the more, you know, bringing to the light, the more they are aware of what it is that may be triggering or uncomfortable about certain material, you know. Maybe I don't like getting messy. Like Kate, you always talk about clay. It could be, you know, challenging for people that when it's so messy, but it's like, okay, so what it is about that mess that is uncomfortable, or where is it uncomfortable, you know? And then they can decide whether they, you know, you can see whether they get curious about it and they're comfortable working with that further or just maybe leave it for another day.
Right. Well, also this question of, would there be anybody that this art therapy would not be appropriate for?
I don't know. I
can't think of it. Do you think?
Yeah.
I think that was a hard question because the answer is probably no, because it seems that like somebody who is, we had this discussion about someone who's so resistant to it could be the exact person that it could help. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And so it seems like a gentle approach to kind of allow someone to move towards something that, you know, they have spent a lifetime avoiding, maybe. And I think the way that you talk about art therapy is this, it's a very gentle approach to have someone move towards things that maybe they have tried so hard to avoid that is clearly maladaptive for them. Mm-hmm. And it's a way to kind of get used to some discomfort and kind of to explore it through a modality that feels safe, mm-hmm. and then allows them to, in a way, then be able to conceptualize through words what that is about. Mm-hmm. And in that way, that's maybe where the healing happens. Mm-hmm.
That was lovely.
Thank you. Yeah, but I could see, I don't know, it would make sense for anybody who's curious about it in a way, because it is a gentle approach.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah, it is a gentle approach. And with words as well, I'm just thinking sometimes an incident that happened when someone was 5 years old, you know, at that stage, there's a different type of felt sense or, you know, I'm just speaking about my personal thing, you know, it's like that, you know, an incident that happened to me when I was five, for example, I could access it quicker. I couldn't talk about it as easily as I could maybe create an object around it. So it's more gentle, but it also can be sort of more powerful witnessing that part of yourself. I'm rumbling, but anyway. And, you know, it reminded me also about your question that you said, is art therapy for everyone, or is anyone making art doing art therapy? And I would say, I think it always is a therapeutic process. Yes.
It is. And interesting enough, like I was just on residency in Italy with a bunch of artists teaching art therapy workshops, and I found there to be more resistance amongst trained artists than people who aren't experienced in the arts, maybe because they have their own judgments coming into it.
So how did you approach that?
Let me just give you an example. I did an art therapy workshop for a bunch of working artists over the summer, and I split up a piece of paper for every participant, and it looked like a building. Everyone had their own room in the building, and I asked people to create their ideal layout of a room, their ideal room. And one of the artists was an architect, and he said that he felt uncomfortable doing the exercise because it's something that he does on a daily basis and he always analyzes himself. So in a situation like that, if I had known more about the person coming in, like I would probably change the medium entirely to something that he hadn't done before.
I just wanted to add, there's so much training that is happening for professional artists that because their language of communication is art, they get very skilled at it and in deflecting and avoiding, whether I find people who, as Josephine, you mentioned, have a resistance because they haven't been doing art before, they're much more pure. And sometimes their way of communicating through expressive arts therapy would be much more authentic. That's just my experience.
Right, because the goal is to allow them to move out of their kind of comfort zone of what they're used to doing and expand their
critical mind.
Right. Interesting. Yeah. Well, this has been really helpful for me to understand a little bit more about art therapy and the process and kind of just the philosophy behind it. For listeners who just want to learn a little bit more about it, they're considering kind of finding an art therapist or finding a workshop, what are some good resources? We can put it on the episode description too, so people can see them and you know, have those links. But where do you steer people towards to learn a little bit more about it?
The two things that come up for me, there's an Artist Therapist Association, which has a directory for art therapists, depending where you guys are. And then there's the non-therapeutic approach as well. I've met a lot of facilitators. You know, I was also based at Esalen Institute. So there are creative workshops as well, you know, with improv and writing and painting. There's throughout, and there's that option also. Or even, I don't know if you know the writer Elizabeth Gilbert. She runs creativity workshops, and there's a lot to do with personal work, and she, not necessarily just with writing, but collage making. And that's an interesting approach also that one can take.
Yeah. If you're curious about just like learning a little bit more, some like excellent contributors to art therapy are Judith Rubin, Kathy Malachiodi, Art Robbins, Pat Allen. If I was just getting into it, I would read a little bit more. And then,
yeah. And then I would also add Sean McNiff to that. He's my personal favorite. And Daria Halprin. She writes beautifully on the expressive body and life and arts therapy.
Well, we'll make sure we can include those so people can access those individuals and their thoughts and writings. So I really appreciate you both taking the time to educate us a bit more about this modality. Thank you for being on.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
All right. Well, be well. Take care.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
This has been Mind Stories. With remote appointments in California and offices in downtown Los Angeles, Santa Monica, Hermosa Beach, Marina Del Rey, and Echo Park, Cal Psychiatry specializes in medication management, mood and anxiety disorders, alternative therapies, women's mental health, and more to help you get back to your true self. Visit us at calpsychiatry.com. Thank you for listening to Mind Stories, and don't forget to subscribe.